Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today is Wednesday, and we are in episode 118.3. This is 1 Kings chapter 20. So welcome to everybody out there. Thank you for joining me yet again for another day in another chapter in God's Word. So it's a long chapter, so I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to pray, give you your Bible verse, and then we're going to go ahead and read. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, and with just so much love for you. We love you, and we lift you up. We praise your holy name, Lord, and we're wanting to show you how much we love you by being the obedient children that you want us to be. We want to be in your will. And we want to be doing exactly what it is that you want us to be doing. So guide and direct us in all things, Lord. We want to do what you want us to do. But most of all, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We are thankful for his sacrifice on the cross, the perfect blood that was spilled for us, and the fact that he conquered the grave by he rose from the dead, and we are so thankful for his resurrection. Without that, we would not have eternal life. So thank you. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Lord, I'm thankful for those who are out there listening, watching. I pray for whatever their needs are. I don't know what they are, but you do. So Lord, just put a covering over your people who are out there trying to get into the Word and get to know you better. I'm asking for many, many, many blessings over them. And I'm asking the same for me and my family and my friends. Lord, watch over us, guide and direct us, Lord, because we want to be doing whatever it is that you want us to be doing. We want to be obedient. And we're reading how disobedience gets, you know, punishment. So we want to do what's right and just and good in your eyes. We want our prayers that we're lifting up to you to be a pleasant aroma to you. We want it to be what you want it to be. And we come with heartfelt praise for you, Lord. Lord, we invite you into this time in your word. Your word is precious and holy to us. It's our way of getting to know you better. You gave this to us as a gift. To learn how to live life to the fullest and with righteousness. So Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to follow your footsteps and do exactly what it is that you want us to do. So we invite you into this time in your word. Anoint it, bless it, and reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today's verse comes from Jeremiah, which is interesting because I am actually reading the book of Jeremiah. I think I've mentioned that. So it says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And that's Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I mean, we have to put all of our trust, all of our faith in him, and to know that he is going to be all that he says he's going to be and do what he says he's going to do, because that's, we've already witnessed that. What Jesus said, he did. And God has been doing it forever from the beginning. That's what he's done. So that's your verse of the day. Put your trust in the Lord. If that's all you get from today's reading, well then, God bless you. That's one good thing, right? All right, so today, like I said, is chapter 20. It's a little bit long, so bear with me here. If you turn a page back, if you're reading from this version, if you turn a page back, it gives you like a little bit of an overview. And so it talks about how Ahab's life illustrates disastrous consequences for being disobedient. You know, he's consistently been disobedient. And you know, this is what will happen to him. So it's kind of two chapters are about his life, and then the last chapter is going to be about his death. So, all right. Ben-Hadad attacks Samaria. About that time, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mobilized his army and supported by his chariots and horses of 32 allied kings. They went to besiege Samaria, the capital of Israel, and launched attacks against it. Ben-Hadad sent messages into the city to relay this message to King Ahab of Israel. This is what Ben-Hadad says. Your silver and gold are mine, so are your wives and the best of your children. All right, my lord, the king, Israel's king, replied. All that I have is yours. Soon Ben-Hadad's messengers returned again and said, this is what Ben-Hadad says. I have already demanded that you give me your silver, gold, wives, and children. But about this time tomorrow, I will send my officials to search your palace and the homes of your officials. They will take away everything you consider valuable. Then Ahab summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, look how this man is stirring up trouble. I already agreed with his demand, and I gave him my wives and children and silver and gold. Don't give in to any more demands, all the elders and the people advised. So Ahab told the messengers from Ben-Hadad, say this to the Lord, to my lord, the king. I will give you everything you asked for the first time, but I cannot accept this last demand of yours. So the messengers returned to Ben-Hadad with that response. Then Ben-Hadad sent this message to Ahab. May the gods strike me and even kill me if there remains enough dust from Samaria to provide even a handful for each of my soldiers. The king of Israel sent back this answer. A warrior putting on his sword for battle should not boast like a warrior who has already won. Ahab's reply reached Ben-Hadad and the other kings as they were drinking in their tents. Prepare to attack, Ben-Hadad commanded his officers, so they prepared to attack the city. Ahab's victory over Ben-Hadad. Then a certain prophet came to see King Ahab of Israel and told him, this is what the Lord says. Do you see all these enemy forces? Today I will hand them all over to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Ahab asked, how will he do it? And the prophet replied, this is what the Lord says. The troops of the provincial commanders will do it. Should we attack first? Ahab asked. Yes, the prophet answered. So Ahab mustered the troops of the 232 provincial commanders. Then he called out the rest of the army of Israel, some 7,000 men. About noontime, as Ben-Hadad and the 32 allied kings were still in their tents, drinking themselves into a stupor, the troops of the provincial commanders marched out of the city as the first contingent. As they approached, Ben-Hadad's scouts reported to him, some troops are coming from Samaria. Take them alive, Ben-Hadad commanded, whether they have come for peace or for war. But Ahab's provincial commanders and the entire army had now come out to fight. Each Israelite soldier killed his Aramean opponent, and suddenly the entire Aramean army panicked and fled. The Israelites chased them, but King Ben-Hadad and a few of his charioteers escaped on horses. However, the king of Israel destroyed the other horses and chariots and slaughtered the Arameans. Afterward, the prophet said to King Ahab, get ready for another attack. Begin making plans now, for the king of Aram will come back next spring. Ben-Hadad's second attack. After their defeat, Ben-Hadad's officers said to him, the Israelite gods are gods of the hills. That is why they won. But we can beat them easily on the plains. Only this time replace the kings with field commanders. Recruit another army like the one you lost. Give us the same number of horses, chariots, and men, and we will fight against them on the plains. There's no doubt that we will beat them. So King Hadad did as they suggested. The following spring, he called up the Aramean army and marched out against Israel, this time at Aphek. Israel then mustered its army, set up supply lines, and marched out for battle. But the Israelite army looked like two little flocks of goats in comparison to the vast Aramean forces that filled the countryside. Then the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, "This is what the Lord says. The Arameans have said, 'The Lord is a God of the hills and not of the plains,' so I will defeat this vast army for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." The two armies camped opposite each other for 7 days, and on the seventh day the battle began. The Israelites killed 100,000 Aramean foot soldiers in 1 day. The rest fled into the town of Aphek, but the wall fell on them and killed another 27,000. Ben-Hadad fled into the town and hid in a secret room. Ben-Hadad's officers said to him, "Sir, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful. So let's humble ourselves by wearing burlap around our waists and putting ropes on our heads and surrender to the king of Israel. Then perhaps he will let you live." So they put on burlap and ropes, and they went to the king of Israel and begged, "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live." The king of Israel responded, "Is he still alive? He is my brother." The men took this as a good sign and quickly picked up on his words. "Yes," they said, "your brother Ben-Hadad." "Go and get him," the king of Israel told them. And when Ben-Hadad arrived, Ahab invited him up into his chariot. Ben-Hadad told him, "I will give back the towns my father took from your father, and you may establish places of trade in Damascus as my father did in Samaria." Then Ahab said, "I will release you under these conditions." So they made a new treaty, and Ben-Hadad was set free. A prophet condemns Ahab. Meanwhile, the Lord instructed one of the group of prophets to say to another man, "Hit me." But the man refused to hit the prophet. Then the prophet told him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, a lion will kill you as soon as you leave me." And when he had gone, a lion did attack and kill him. Then the prophet turned to another man and said, "Hit me." So he struck the prophet and wounded him. The prophet placed a bandage over his eyes to disguise himself and then waited beside the road for the king. As the king passed by, the prophet called out to him, "Sir, I was in the thick of battle, and suddenly a man brought me a prisoner." He said, "Guard this man. If for any reason he gets away, you will either die or pay a fine of 75 pounds of silver." But while I was busy doing something else, the prisoner disappeared. "Well, it's your own fault," the king replied. "You have brought the judgment on yourself." Then the prophet quickly pulled the bandage from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. The prophet said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Because you have spared the man I said must be destroyed, now you must die in his place, and your people will die instead of his people." So the king of Israel went home to Samaria, angry and sullen. All right. Well, I didn't really highlight very, very much. I did highlight in 13 a certain prophet. It doesn't identify who the prophet is. So I'm a little kind of curious about that. And then at the end of 28, because Ben-Hadad's leaders, troops, whatever, said that the man of God went to the kings of Israel and said, "This is what the Lord says. The Arameans have said, 'The Lord is a God of the hills and not of the plains.' So I will defeat this army. Then you will know that I'm God." So the Lord is going to defeat them again in the hills, not on the plains, just like he did in the hills. So God is trying to show them that he is, you know, the God of all, you know, he is God. And, then, and I'm not sure where it said it. I must have missed it, and I'm not going to go back in and try to find it. But God must have told him to destroy everything, including Ben-Hadad, and he didn't. He spared his life. So now Ahab is going to die instead because he spared his life. So All I gotta say is you gotta be obedient to God. Do what he tells you to do. Hear him, pray about it. You know, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, because God will answer those prayers and he'll tell you exactly what you're supposed to be doing. So, I didn't really get a takeaway from this. It's just basically laying the foundation of Ahab not listening to what God's got to tell him. So, all right, well, that's it for today. I'm just so glad that you were able to be here and be a part of this. As I always do at this time, I give anyone and everyone the opportunity to say the prayer of salvation. I just feel like this is something that's very, very important. And if you have been thinking about it and you're not sure, you know, this is your moment. I say it, it's not about me, it's about you and your heart and giving your life to Jesus. So if you feel like today is your day, then I really hope and pray that you say this prayer with me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the family of Jesus. You are a brother or sister in Christ, and today is a new day. If you did say the prayer, I would say mark it in your Bible, mark it somewhere. Today's a day of celebration. It's a new day for you, new life. And I always say, get to living for God. First of all, get to a pastor or a church, somebody who can answer any questions that you might have. Get involved with the church that you choose. There's mission work, Bible studies, volunteer work, ministry. There's so many different things you can be involved with. God gives you talents. And he wants you to use them. So pray about it. Figure out what God is trying to get you to do. We would love to hear from you. If you did accept Christ today, please, please email us at Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a message on Facebook or Instagram. We will respond. So we'd love to hear from you. I hope and pray that today was your day. I really do. You know, what are you waiting for? That's all I gotta say, because today's the first day of the rest of your life. So I would say get on it. That's it for today. I'm so grateful and thankful that you are here today. It's always just wonderful diving into God's Word and getting to know Him a little bit better. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time of day it is for you. I don't even know what year it is for you. It could be, who knows? But I'm glad that you found us, and I hope that this blesses you as much as it does me. So God bless you. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.